Palm Beach. I moved on her, and I failed. I'll admit it.
Whoa.
I did try and fuck her. She was married.
Huge nose there.
No, Nancy. Yeah. No, this was marriages. And I moved on her very heavily. In fact, I took her out furniture shopping. She wanted to get some furniture. I said, I'll show you where they have some nice furniture. I took her out furniture. I moved on her like a bitch, but I couldn't get there. And she was married. And all of a sudden, I see her. She's now got the big phony tits and everything. She's totally changed her look.
She's your girl's hot as shit in the purple.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa. Oh,
yes, the Donald is good.
Whoa.
Oh, my man. Wait, you got to look at me when
this
you get out of your
life. That
is very
funny. Will you give me the thumbs up?
Look at you. You are a
fan. You got to put the thumbs up. You've got to get the thumbs up.
Can't be too happy. Can you get
anybody else off first? Yeah, let me.
It's very. Maybe it's a different one.
Better not be the public. No, it's her.
Yeah, that's her, with the gold. I've got to use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. I can do anything.
You look like delicate
season. No, it looks good.
A few sights and sounds from the 2016 presidential election season. Welcome to the first episode of Barbershop News Tonight in 4 long years. In fact, the last time we did a show such as this was in 2012. When Mitt Romney and Barack Obama were running for the office, Obama being the incumbent, Mitt Romney being the guy who was trying to unseat him, I think it's safe to say that 2012, we had, it was a lot smoother sailing as far as the debates are concerned, of mutual respect. Both men had for each other. Obama didn't run away with all 3 debates. I think actually Mitt Romney outperformed Obama quite handily in the first debate. The second debate, Obama came to play. And then the third debate, Obama came to play also. And Mitt Romney, you know, held his own. It wasn't this crushing thing. It was 2 gentlemen going at it over the issues, both vying for the presidency. Now, fast forward to 2016. Things are just not quite like that. We've got Hillary Clinton on a Democratic ticket, and we've got Mr. Donald Trump on the Republican ticket. To say this presidential season has been a circus would clearly be an understatement. To say this has been normal, what's been going on as far as these debates are concerned, would definitely be wrong. We have had everything going on from email scandals to the clip you just heard, groping, sexual assault scandals, a debate season that has really turned into a circus. And here at the BDSIR Network and at Barbershop News Tonight, we'll be covering it all, and we will be talking about all the sights and sounds of 2016, what we expect on November 8th, what do we think so far, and just, you know, time to express our opinions because we're in a transition stage in this country. Things are different. Things are not what they used to be. November 8th is going to be a day that's going to go down in history. we're going to either have the first female president or we're going to have the first
orange president.
Yeah, orange president. it's gonna be different. It's gonna be interesting. Hi, everybody. Again, I'm KME. I'm joined by Hugo. Rueda, is Chad available?
Yep. Chad
Rivera is here today. This is my panel today, and let's just without any further ado. What should we tackle first? Should we go back to the primary season, or do you guys want to just jump right ahead to like grab them by the pussy gate? Or
I mean, KME, is the primary really something to talk about? I mean, we saw on the Republican side, we saw Donald Trump just completely batter his competition. In the Republic side, and also Bernie Sanders, he had no chance. I remember we were watching some of these primaries, and then I remember you were saying Bernie Sanders ain't got no chance. He's gonna win a few states here and there, but dude ain't got no chance.
Yeah, that was this was what I was doing, I don't want to get anybody, I don't want anyone thinking I wasn't on board with Bernie Sanders. If Bernie Sanders got the nomination, I would have voted for him. But it's just, I've been watching politics. I follow politics. I follow trends. I'm in communication, and I'm in political science. Those are my areas of expertise. So just judging the sheer metrics of everything and how things were turning out, I knew Bernie Sanders didn't really have a chance of getting the nomination. I was accused of being a hater, being this, being that. I got all kinds of called out names. This is by Bernie supporters. They were, I know Trump supporters get, they're known for their rudeness and crassness, but these Bernie supporters got on my case and got my ass really hard. And, my response was always, look, if Bernie gets the nomination, I will vote for him. He's just not getting it, It just was what it was. Hillary Clinton is just she's just been doing this for too long, First of all, you had Bernie Sanders, who was an independent, who had to join the Democratic Party just so he would have a mere shot at competition. He did what he could. Now let's give Bernie his credit. He got Hillary Clinton moving towards a more left direction, a more progressive direction, and that's at the end of the day, that was really what was important for him to do. And let's give credit to Bernie too. When he lost, he stepped aside and like a good Democrat would do, told his supporters to vote for Hillary. And he jumped back on he became an independent again. So he's finishing his run as senator as an independent. Bernie Sanders, he wasn't a bad candidate. It's just he just didn't have he doesn't have that Clinton machine behind him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When this first started, I mean, I'll admit I was a Bernie backer. I wasn't hardcore like a lot of these folks are. I mean, there's still people that I have pop up on my different social media timelines, and they're still, going to say they're going to write in Bernie Sanders and waste everybody's time and waste their vote during that.
Yeah.
But I once the writing was on the wall and I knew there wasn't anything, then, I mean, because like you, KME, I mean, I'm Democrat. More liberal based, so I moved over to supporting Hillary and doing that. But like you said, props to Bernie, because I didn't see him going this far with it. I mean, he put up a fight, but towards the end, it just petered out. And his grassroots operations, I'll give him credit for that, because he did get a lot of support without having to get big money behind him. But yeah, it's just he just didn't have enough to quite do it.
Yeah, yeah. What'd you make of Bernie this season, Hugo?
Well, one thing, I would have definitely been behind Bernie Sanders if it wasn't for his supporters. And I was publicly in our chats that we always have that what really turned me off from Bernie Sanders was his supporters. But I'll be honest with you, man. In terms of this year's class of candidates, I gotta say I don't like any of them. It's like you're choosing from two candidates that are you really like excited to go on November 8th and you're ready to go to the polls and ready to vote and be like, okay, this is my clear cut, nominee. Obviously, what have I liked about this season, about this presidential season, has been the comedy. I think it's been it's been nothing but funny. It the whole thing with grab her by the pussy and then the WikiLeaks and then what we heard around in the three debates attacking each other. I found it comical. I thought it was hilarious. I want to give props to Donald Trump for actually making me laugh in the last three debates, because realistically, he's been a ridicule, in my opinion. And I have a lot of friends that are Trump supporters, that are hardcore Trump supporters, and they're going to go vote for this guy. And all I could do is just laugh in their face. You know what I mean? That's all I can do. But to be honest with you, Jamie, and in all serious note, I'm not excited like how I was for Barack Obama in his first two terms and in his last two terms to actually go out and be like, all right, I'm going to vote for Barack Obama. You know, this time around, I'm kind of like, yeah, I'll vote for Hillary because she's the lesser of the two evils, but I'm not too ecstatic for Hillary Clinton either. And we'll get more into this as the show goes on.
Yeah. We'll definitely talk about that. Before I speak my piece, let's now go to, what has this rocked the last couple weeks of debates? Okay, so we had the first debate. This debate was not. It really showed how. If you guys have first debate notes, please feel free to use them. If you don't, we'll just whatever you can remember, just let them know. The first debate, it got a lot of viewers. I think it got like 80 million eyes on it or something like that. So a lot of people watched this debate. And it really was a debate. The seasoned politician I'm talking about, Hillary Clinton, and she was going up against somebody who was just really unprepared, really out of his element, really out of his league as a politician. He was flustered. He didn't really know what to do he was not as quick-witted as Hillary. It was something else. And then what's the name of the moderator, the black dude from NBC?
Lester Holt.
Lester Holt. Lester Holt was the moderator for this debate, and he got some people. You either liked what he did or you didn't. There were a lot of people that said he let Trump run amok, and then some people like me were kind of like, he did what he could. I don't have any like real issue with how he moderated. I thought it was what it was. That was the first debate. Okay. Now, after the first debate, we have a week to chill. And then what's the timeline? Did the vice presidential debate come first?
Yeah.
Yeah, it did, because the vice presidential debate was, I think it was on a Wednesday.
And then grab her by the pussy gate came out on that Thursday, right?
Yeah, Thursday or Friday. Thursday, overnight it came out, yeah.
Okay, so we had the vice presidential debate. That was like, it was what it was. No one really won that debate. It was part, of course, as far as vice presidential debates are concerned. And then this is when it gets interesting. And the very next day, we the clip Hugo played at the beginning of the show, Donald J. Trump in a news van with one Billy Bush from NBC News, at the time Access Hollywood, one of NBC's entertainment shows, and they're talking about, who are they talking about? Nancy O'Dell and how Trump is, you know, he tried to, you know, tried to get with her and stuff, and, you know, she was married or whatever, turned him down, and how he was a celebrity. And, you know, Arianna Zucker, I actually know who she is from Days of Our Lives. She plays Nicole Walker. I'm a Days fan. But he says, let me grab some Tic Tacs. And, you know, he's a celebrity. He got a weakness towards beautiful women or whatever. He says, I just walk up. This is what he said in so many words. Not a direct quote, but as much as we can. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but I just do what I like. I go up to him. I could do what I want. Start kissing on him. Grab him by the snatch. I don't, you know. Let's just say that. Billy Bush is in there laughing all goofily. Mind you, the whole time this is going on, they are mic'd. And as somebody who's worked in media, I'm sure your boy Drew can attest to this, Chad, also. When you're in any kind of news van, or even if you're on the studio lot, you're there with the mindset that you are mic'd, that you are recorded, even if you don't have a mic on you, which these two doofuses actually did have a mic on them. So they're mic'd, and they're saying all this stuff. And then they get out. This almost makes Billy Bush a little bit worse than Donald Trump. So after Billy Bush hears Donald Trump says all this stuff, and he's laughing at this crap, and he's co-signing on it, they go up to Arianne, Billy Bush. They greet each other. And then he says, how about a hug for the Donald? And this is after you heard him say all this crap. And then he gets a hug for himself too. And then the clip kind of ends there. And then, of course, when this gets released go ahead.
Tammy, there's actually more to the clip. I just ended it at there. They actually are walking backstage. And Billy Bush and Donald Trump are side by side, and then the girl is on the third side. She's like, well, let me get in the middle, and then Donald Trump goes, right in the middle. That's where you belong. Something like that. And then Bush goes to her, and he goes, who would you rather have, the Donald or me? And then Donald goes, oh, that's a tough choice. He's like, well, you're putting me on the spot. I'll take both of you on. And then you can kind of see the grin on both of their faces. I thought that was pretty comical as well.
Yeah. It was just a lot of shenanigans on.
I think Kami fell off there for a second, Chad. Let's see, he probably I think his line there for a second. But as Kami was alluding to, and while he gets back into us, basically, like I said, they were going side by side, and then you could kind of tell a grin on both of their faces, and basically that was it really when it comes to the clip. There you go, Kami, you're back.
Yeah, you're back.
Cool. Okay, so let's go to the next day now. So,
Kami, I'm sorry, really quick, if you don't mind, before you go into the third debate, some of the takeaways, if you don't mind, that because this was my more vivid debate out of all of them, huh?
Yeah, we'll get there. We're not going to that debate yet.
Gotcha. Okay. Go ahead.
We're going to the damage control because that's the next thing, right? So
okay.
He comes out. First of all, all the outlets pick up on this. Fox News, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, everybody picks up on this. This is a big story. This is a big deal. And a lot of his Republican backers who endorsed him, unendorsed him, they're separating themselves from it. Paul Ryan, the chair of the RNC, released a statement. Women are to be revered and respected, and a lot of this is where you've got a lot of people, in particular Republicans, pretending to be more offended at that statement than they probably were. Was I offended by the statement? I would say yeah. And the reason why I was offended because it was in the third debate we'll say how Donald Trump described that, but it was just uncalled for. You call yourself running for president and then this thing gets released from 10 years earlier and it's disgusting. It's vile. And now you're in a position where you have to explain yourself. So here's where the apology comes in. It's a half-hearted apology, but for Trump, this is a guy who hasn't apologized for anything. There's nothing that politics humbles you. Let me just preface my comments by saying that. You think you're riding high and you can say and do whatever you want. Even somebody like Trump is not above getting humbled. And when that thing came out and everybody turned on him, he finally had to issue out an apology. But, of course, it wouldn't be a Trump apology if he didn't throw Bill Clinton under the bus, try to take the heat off himself, and then he goes, Bill Clinton has done, and her husband has done and said a lot worse things. I don't know who told him that was a good idea to apologize like that by throwing Bill Clinton under the bus. That's a PR rule number one. You apologize, and then you hope people forget it by the time the next debate goes along. You don't draw more attention to it. And then Trump takes first one step.
I was just going to say, I think that no one's really telling him. I think Donald's just calling his own shots. I mean, we've seen how this guy is a control freak. I think that he just said, I'm going to do this and do that, and he's just probably got a lot of yes men. Or if anyone is even suggesting that he do something else, I think he's quickly shutting it down and just going by what he wants to do himself.
Yeah, it's obvious, yeah, because to invite those women, Paula Jones and a couple others from the 90s who have both accused Clinton of some stuff, and then invite them to the debate. Now, here's where it gets funny and tricky. So we get to the second debate. Now, before we get to the second debate, let's go ahead and share our thoughts thus far. So what were you going to say, Hugo? Hugo.
Sorry, man. What was your question? I apologize. I'm sorry. What was your question?
You said you had to, before we got to the second debate, what were you going to say about Trump and grab him by the pussy and everything, the events before all this?
No. I thought we were getting right into the whole second debate thing, like actually going inside the second debate. My bad.
We'll go into the second debate. I can give my little introduction of the second debate. Okay. So
yeah, I know.
Did you have anything before we get on this debate, Chad? Did you have anything to say about everything thus far?
Just leading up to it, even when it came down to the first debate. Like you said, Hillary won that debate handily. Trump, even before, but when we go into the second debate, and I'm sure we'll break this down, when he was asked questions, he wasn't giving answers to these questions, or he would, like if the topic was about abortion or whatever, he would somehow change it to immigration. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. You know, it had nothing to do with the questions that he was asked. So he's definitely unprepared when it came to that. The Pussygate stuff, obviously, it was sickening. You and I had talked KME. I remember on the phone just previous to the second debate about that. And, like, they used the locker room talk. That was his big defense on that. And, I mean, I can understand that. I mean, we've been in, you know, different locker rooms. I'm sure all of us have. And we, you know, conversation, you know, or just between guys and guy talk, it can get, you know, out of hand, I guess. But the way that you and I, when we described it, the way when he took it, you know, that extra step where he can do anything he wants to and just grab him by the pussy, like you said, that gets to that gets to a predatorial level. Like, it kind of crosses that line.
Let's keep it real. I'm not going to speak for either one of you guys, but I speak for myself. Chad is married, and I've never heard him say any crass words about any woman.
Me either.
But I have a conversation with you guys about women, and I talk about, like, I'm trying to smash this chick, or I'm trying to do something or that or whatever. We've exchanged stories, just keeping it real, being candid for a second. I've exchanged stories, you know, with Hugo or Ronnie or whoever, and about girls, and, you know, and that's it. That's what I consider guy talk, you know, is that kind of stuff. And, well, I'll either be like, oh, yeah, I got rejected, and we'll laugh about it, or, you know, I'll be like, yeah, I scored, and it'd be something funny. You know what I'm saying? But I've never one time heard any of you guys or myself be like, oh, yeah, I just walk up to chicks, grab them by the snatch, and, you know, do what I want to do for this stuff. Because that is the textbook definition of sexual assault. And then it was funny, the people that I saw defending this on Facebook. Like, there was one guy and he was saying, if you're offended by Trump, then you're acting like you never. And I'm like, I thought really long and hard about this, and I will be the first to admit I can be very, very rude and very, very crass when I'm talking about my romantic conquest. Is what it is. Mm-hmm. But I don't say crap like that, and I never have. And now I've never heard any of you guys say anything like that. And if I did, I'm not going to go as far as saying I wouldn't want to talk to you guys again, but I wouldn't know how to react to that, you know, because it's like, that's just weird to me. So,
I mean, this whole thing of locker room talk, I mean, I honestly do believe that it was the wrong choice of words. And one thing that bothers me about Donald Trump as a whole is that he always has to try to justify his wrongdoings. You know what I mean? I understand that is human instinct, and we all do that. But he takes it to an extreme. There are times where you could actually say, and what time is it now? It's 10 o'clock, so I could actually say this because we're late night. If we fuck up, we fuck up. You know what I mean? And he realistically, he knows that he fucked up. That's why that bullshit apology that he had, you know, but then after that, he starts attacking Bill Clinton. That's just trying to justify something just trying to cover it up himself. And no, when you mess up, you mess up.
Yeah, and then here's where it gets interesting. Okay, so he comes out and does that. He invites those women to the second debate. Even at the second debate, he mentions how Clinton has actually been accused of assault and this and that, and he makes a statement alluding to how he's never been accused of assault, threatens that if he becomes president, he's going to put Hillary in jail. He's like, when I become president, I'm going to put you in jail. You belong in jail. I'm going to put you in jail. That's like a complete fucking toddler. It's like, and I'm watching this. And the whole time I'm feeling bad for Hillary. I'm like, Hillary deserves to be in a debate with somebody worthy of her skill level. You know what I'm saying? She deserves to be in a debate with a seasoned politician. She deserves her John McCain. She deserves her Mitt Romney. She deserves to be in a debate with somebody who's going to challenge her ideas, who's going to challenge her, and then she can challenge them right back, and then, you know, people can make an informed decision. because the way I see Trump right now is the people that are voting for him are just people that just do not want Hillary to win, or people or Republicans who just do not want to lose to the point where they would vote for this goof. But anyway, back to the Trump stuff. He threatens to put her in jail, threatens to this and that. And then this is where it gets more interesting. So Trump says he's never, unlike Clinton, I've never been accused. I said some stuff, but I've never been accused. So, of course, right then and there, if you're just a person that's been following Trump or just someone that's been following politics in general, well, the minute you say I've never been accused of something, of course all these women are going to come out the woodwork and say, wait a second, this dude grabbed my breast. This dude grabbed my vagina. This dude did this. Trump did that. He sexually assaulted me. I was an intern and Trump assaulted me. And the woman just came out in droves saying, hey, this dude has been a fondler and he's been this and been that. A lot of, you know, hearsay stuff, a lot of stories that, you know, and like from as recent as 10 years ago, as long as 30 years ago. But stories that are coming out now, and this is where Trump's – this is to just illustrate Trump's F-up right here. When you brought those Clinton women to the debate, he opened this can of worms. You get me? What he should have done was just apologize and move on. If you wanted those Clinton women to come out, the way you introduced them, public relations 101, if you want those women to come out and speak on your behalf, have someone in your campaign pay them off to come out and make like they're doing it on their own. Don't you be the one to usher them out and to introduce them, because now you're just looking like some bitter dude that is on your last legs, and it reeks of desperation. So when you did that, it kicked down Pandora's box, and all these skeletons came out of your closet. Of course, you're saying it's not true, and in Trump's defense, it might not be true, but if he didn't go there in the first place, this stuff wouldn't be coming out. So that's where we were at after the second debate. Let's just fast forward to the third debate. Third debate, I think I would call the third debate Trump's best showing. I would say that he didn't do a great job. He didn't even do a good job. He did an okay job. He's still talking over himself, still interrupting Hillary, still making those rookie mistakes. But I think he was a little bit more composed. I thought he had some legitimate chances, a legitimate shot to kind of jump on Hillary. You know, like when Hillary's talking about her foundation, when Hillary's talking about the Clinton Foundation and stuff like that, and you know, there have been some slip ups with that foundation that he could have easily pounced on. But instead, he talks over her. He kind of messes it up for himself to not really challenge her and ask her any good questions, or to, that kind of thing. And it was just more of the same, pretty much, except a little bit more toned down. 70 million people tuned in to this third debate. It was a big day, and we had some big things going on. We had new episodes of a lot of shows. We had the Dodger Cubs game. Chad's going for the Cubs. I'm of course going for the Dodgers. We had all this stuff. we had all this stuff going on. So this is amidst heavy competition, the debate still drew 70 million people. From all that stuff, this is where we're at today. We're at the point of – you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right, just making sure. All right, we're at the point of 3 weeks from now, November the 8th, we've got an election to vote for. I guess the million, like, I'm like Hugo. I am excited about voting for Hillary. I do like Hillary. I've always been with Hillary. This is how I've always been with her. Even in 2008, had she gotten the nomination, I know a lot of people who were like, if Obama doesn't win this, I'm just not going to vote for her and this and that. If Hillary got the nomination in 08, I would have voted for her. Hillary had done a lot of stuff as senator and as Secretary of State that I like. She was one of the big sponsors of the Dream Act. So she was that was like, you know, putting a lot of important components of the Dream Act together. That was her. She was really big on Obamacare, universal health care. She wrote a lot of that. One of the things I love that she did was her initiative have gotten people to treat mental illness like a real disease, you know, like before with mental illness, people kind of, if you had a mental illness, you were kind of down on and stuff. She's got people treating that like a disease. She's made a lot of initiatives that I'm happy with. I like the Dream Act, and she's actually done a lot for military spending too. She spent a lot on the military. She's a good politician. Is she someone I would call great? I wouldn't call her great, but I think her suckiness is pretty overrated. I think the hatred for her. She's not the most charismatic person on the planet. I think that, you know, a lot of her hatred just comes from that. She doesn't have the charisma of a Barack Obama, or even the charisma of a Sarah Palin. She's kind of real regular, what you see and what you get. She's one of those people who's she's better when she has the office than she is at running for the office. That's my thoughts on Hillary, but I've got no issues with her. I'm gonna vote for her. I'm excited about voting for her. I think she's got this in the bag now. I don't want to like. Knowing what I know about politics, I don't see how she loses this unless a Bradley effect happens where everyone's polling saying they're gonna vote for Clinton and then they change their mind in the booth. But the U.S. population is 51% women. The voting population is, at least half the voting population are female. Not all of those people are going to vote for her, but I think she's got enough support, enough minority support, enough support from her base to take this from Trump. I think what it's going to come down to is just the fact that she's a better politician. She's been doing this for 30 years. Trump tried to bring those women out to the second debate as a ploy to rattle her, to shake her up. Hillary Clinton has ice water running through her veins. She doesn't give a fuck about women. She looked them right in the eye. She wasn't flustered even a little bit. She wasn't intimidated even a little bit. Hillary Clinton is a masculine female, and I say that as a compliment. I don't say that as an insult. I say that as she is a capable leader. She's not some little crybaby Sally Prissy Pants. You get what I'm saying? You're not going to bring those women to the debate and get her to cry on stage, or get her to stumble over her notes and not what to say. What do you make of Hillary, Chad? Since Hugo's already given us his insight.
I'm not like I'm I'm not, I guess I'm in the middle of you, somewhere in the middle between you guys, because I'm not overly excited to vote for her. Like you said, she's, you know, has 30 years experience. She has done some good things. And I definitely do agree with the KME where she makes a better person in office than running for it, where she doesn't have that charisma factor. She does have a little unlikability factor to her when she comes out. But I do agree that the hate on her, I think, is vastly overrated for what she has done. She's done a lot of positive things. I would be more excited for her to vote for her if I lived in a different state, because I think kind of the same with UK and me. California is going to go for Hillary. Illinois always goes Democrat. If I lived in a state where it kind of mattered, like maybe down in Florida where Hugo lives, or in Ohio, I would be more excited to kind of make there, because I know they say every vote counts, but it almost, in a state like where we live, we kind of know where it's going to swing already when it goes. But I will say that Hillary, you know, with 30 years experience, definitely would go for that over Trump with no years experience going on. But I'm happy to vote for her. She has my vote. I'm not overly excited about it, but she'll do right now.
All right, so
yeah,
Hugo,
go ahead. What's your question? Sorry.
Who's going to win Florida? Based on who you've talked to and your experiences and your travels, who do you, in the local news and going on, who wins Florida?
Florida is leaning Democratic at the moment. But you know how much of a seesaw state this is. At one minute we could be fully Democrat, and then the next minute we could be fully Republican. The thing is that the majority of the vote here is very influenced on our Cuban American vote here in South Florida. We know that Miami itself has the biggest population out of any other city in the state of Florida. Some of the supporters that I have talked, especially in the Cuban American community, all the men, they're all in for Donald Trump. However, the women, on the other hand, are actually up for Hillary Clinton. So right now, we have a divided, especially in the Cuban American community, we have a divided choice of who they want between each gender. There are some hardcore males, not being Cuban American but Hispanic, that obviously are in for Hillary Clinton based on the whole Dream Act and immigration and all of those other things. Whereas Donald Trump just says, well, let's just build a damn wall and not let these Cubans or Mexicans or whatever they're not into our country.
Of course.
Right now it's leaning. I'm not gonna say it's fully blue, but I have a feeling that Hillary Clinton should win Florida, not by a landslide, but I would say maybe by 5 or more. Between 5 and 7 points, Hillary Clinton should be taking the state of Florida.
Okay, and let's talk about this real quick, too. Trump is threatening to not concede he's alluding to, I won't say threatening, that's a little harsh. He's alluding to not conceding as he loses. Now, there's two schools of thoughts on this. Now, this is how I feel. If the election is close and Hillary wins and he wants to recount and doesn't want to concede right away, I completely understand. Because if it's a close election, you're entitled to a recount. You're entitled to make sure all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted. I get it. However, if Hillary wins by a landslide, You need to concede. You know what I'm saying? You can't sit there and hold that spot hostage if you lose. And I do think Hillary's going to win a bunch of those swing states. I think this election is going to be more of a landslide than what people think. There's no way to know this for sure. Like, I can say this now and then completely not be surprised if Trump by some perchance won this thing. because I just because I am aware of the Bradley effect. If you don't know politics, the Bradley effect occurs when people poll and say one thing, like, oh, I'm going to vote for such and such, and then they go in the poll in the booth and in the voting booth and vote for someone else. Is named for Tom Bradley, who ran for mayor out here. No, who ran for governor in the state of California in 1982. He was an African-American candidate, and he was running against a white guy. Everybody who was polled said they were going to vote for Tom Bradley. I think they thought that was a cool or attractive thing to say. And then when they left the voting booth, what happened was the white guy won, and they won by a landslide. So the Bradley effect can happen in any instance. People were afraid of that happening with Obama, and it didn't. It could have happened with Hillary Clinton. She could have.
Would you say that kind of happened with Bernie, or would that be a different circumstance? Because a lot of people were saying they'd vote for him, but they just didn't come to the polls. That was the whole thing, I guess, behind that.
Yeah, I think it was with Bernie. I think he had a lot of millennials, and I think a lot of them probably just didn't vote. And he was never really polling higher than Hillary. You know, he was polling at about the same rate as Hillary. You get me?
Yeah, I get you. I guess Bernie did have some states he was stronger in, but yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, for sure.
But Cammie, here's my question, and I have a question in terms of, you know, all these Bernie supporters. They came out and said, oh, well, there's votes that have never been counted that everyone voted for Bernie Sanders. I mean, what's behind all of that? Is just all bullshit or
delusion? Like, at this point, they're delusional. It's a sad state of affairs. They're delusional. That's all I gotta say. Hillary won that. This is the rule when it comes to fixed elections and stuff like that. If Hillary and Bernie, if the race was close and Hillary only beat Bernie by a little bit, then the Bernie supporters that are still hanging on to that train, they would have some validation as to say, yeah, this thing was probably fixed or this and that. Hillary won by pretty much a landslide, you know. She won every major state. Bernie stole a few here and there, but she won so much that by the time it got to California, it was, you know, the race was already called for her. So, I mean, it is what it is. I understand how politics is one of those things that, especially when you really get passionate behind somebody and they lose, it really hits you in the gut hard. It disheartens you, and it gets you frustrated with the whole process, especially when you like somebody a lot. And Bernie Sanders was a really likable guy for a lot of people. He was an anti-Wall Street guy. I thought Bernie Sanders kind of overpromised things. I do think that was an issue with him. We could talk about that on another show, but I thought he kind of overpromised things. But he still represented hope, and he represented the anti-Wall Street, more kind of socialistic society, and I don't use the term socialist as a bad term. I use it as a term kind of getting people on an even playing field, you know. So but he lost fair and square. To the short answer to your question, he lost fair and square. Just like, hey, if Hillary loses this election to Trump, she would have lost it fair and square. I don't see her losing, but I mean, it is what it is. You know, we can't keep just because a person we don't like doesn't win. Don't, you know, latch onto this idea that, oh, things are rigged and this and that. And that's what Trump is doing right now. He's saying, oh, everything is rigged. It's rigged. It's rigged. It's like this guy. It's almost like he has this thought process, like, if I'm so awesome, that I'm not going to lose. But if I do lose, the only way that I'm going to lose is by the election being rigged, not because people like Hillary or not because more people are voting for Hillary, but just because the whole process is rigged. You get me?
Yeah, he's doing that kind of, I think, too, to save face. You know, if he does lose, you know, he's going to cause a ruckus. I can just see it now because I do, like you, I do see Hillary winning this whole thing. But when it comes down to it, the day after, not even the day, after the election's called, the minute after, he's definitely going to go to the rig thing, and that's going to get his supporters up, and it's going to cause all kinds of havoc and raise all sorts of hell coming up where I don't see him conceding just for how Donald Trump is. I think that he's not going to concede. He's going to call up this whole rigged voter fraud. You know, he's going to use everything in the book just to try to save face. Because that's just how he acts, how he's been with every other thing, even in the business world. You know, he never comes out on the bottom. There's always something against him, and he's just going to do that. That's what the main reason why I think he's calling this whole voter fraud, because either he knows he's going to lose now just because how the polls and everything is swinging now, you know, towards Hillary winning. I haven't seen the latest, but I think the highest one I saw was Hillary's up by, like, what's the latest one now? Because last I saw, she was up like...
was up by 12%, which is a lot.
Yeah, because last I saw it was like 11. But he's definitely going to lean back on that just to try to throw another wrench in there, because it's either damage control to make him look good or to just try to wreak havoc for, you know, making another uphill battle for Hillary. If she's going to win, she's not going to win, you know, without circumstance.
Yeah. He's definitely going to make this into something that it doesn't need to be. I've got a personal rant on Trump that I'm going to go through in a minute. How are we on time here?
We're good. We have about 36 minutes left, so we're good.
Okay, so good. We're not going to go to 36 minutes, but so this is my problem with. I've never been one of those people to say if you're a this person supporter, I don't like you or don't talk to me or this or that, because I know how politics is. I've been in this field for a while. I've been teaching this for 3 years now. I'm just upon my 3-year anniversary on this year. So I've worked in the courts. I used to work with Cameron's mom doing background investigations and stuff like that. So I know how politics works. I'm real seasoned at it. With that said, I do look at you a little cross if you tell me you're a Trump supporter. It just is what it is. Trump has done and said too many harmful, racist, xenophobic, sexist, maniacal, inappropriate, reprehensible things that I cannot fathom any rational, clear-headed person representing this person. Now, we could go on Hillary Clinton. We could talk about WikiLeaks and emails and all this and that and, you know, let's get one thing straight. Hillary Clinton is not the only person that have a bunch of unaccounted for emails. Pretty much every president since the internet age has had their fair share of unaccounted for emails. You're looking for things in these emails, and all you have is speculation right now. I'm not saying this excuses Hillary at all, but for me, it's not that big a deal. You know what I'm saying? To me, what's more harmful to me is you got this president, this guy that would be president, who is running for president, saying Mexican immigrants come to America and rape our women. That is a racist statement to the core. It's real Klansman-esque in its tone. It suggests that all immigrants come here and do that. You know what I'm saying? It's like it suggests that, oh, immigrants come to America and they rape our women. You know, you could trace it back to Emmett Till getting beaten to death and killed by white women after he whistled at – not white women, by white men after he whistled at a white woman. He got, you know, bludgeoned and beaten to death all for whistling. And the narrative behind that was black men are very sex hungry and we were rapists and with this and that. And now we're just transferring that over to immigrants. You're talking about building walls to keep immigrants out. You're saying ridiculous stuff like you're going to get Mexico to pay for that wall, which is just super, super ridiculous in itself. You're saying Muslims come here and, you know, they, you know, do all kind of evil and stuff. You're saying the blacks have it so bad. I mean, you're generalizing and stereotyping everybody. You're saying you guys have nothing. That's how you're supposed to win over blacks.
To interrupt you real quick, I mean, a big way to do that, what was it, the second debate, the town hall one, where you can just kind of see how he thinks, where that black gentleman came up and he asked questions about uniting the country. If you know what I'm talking about, and then he sees the black guy. Oh, the inner cities, you know, are so horrible. But the guy didn't even really ask about the inner cities or ask about, you know, anything like that. Where he was talking about uniting people, you can see how where he sees the black guy. Okay, he's automatically talking about the inner cities. You see where his mind goes to,
He associates blackness with the inner city, you know. He's associating Mexican immigrants with rape culture. You know, this is coming from Mr. Grab 'em by the pussy. You know what I'm saying? this is who people are voting for. So I do have a problem with Trump supporters. I was talking to my class today, and there were some Trump supporters in the class, and I respect all my students. I would never call my students stupid or anything like that. But for the first time in 3 years of teaching, I said to them, I was like, if you guys are going to be voting for Trump, you really need to examine your ideologies and why you participate in the voting process, because this guy is dangerous. You know, I do not like the narrative that he and Hillary are somehow the same, because he's not. When someone becomes a president, there is a checks and balances system that helps them from getting too corrupt, but they still are inundated with a lot of power. You know what I'm saying? Trump, as president, is going to have the power to mess with Obamacare in such a way to where it could probably get taken away from people. He's going to have the power to nominate a Supreme Court justice, someone that thinks like him, someone that's just as racist, just as xenophobic, just as homophobic. Exactly. He's got this kind of power. He's going to have the power to declare a war. He's going to have the power to do a lot of dangerous things. Hillary Clinton has already been next to that power, you know what I'm saying? And say what you will about her, she's been an effective leader, you know what I'm saying? And like I said, she deserved to run against somebody who had her leadership qualities. Trump is a dangerous, dangerous man. I do not appreciate the narrative that, you know, and then I hear some of these, for my people, I see some black leaders go on Facebook and, you know, say Hillary's just as bad and just as racist as Trump. And there's no proof of that. You know what I'm saying? People got to kind of get over themselves. But Trump is a dangerous person, and he's not right now. He's a joke. As president, he can become a dangerous person. You get me? I just can't get with somebody who tells me that they are voting for Trump. And I know a lot of people who are, and I've been kind of keeping my distance from them because for this election, it wouldn't be if this was 2012 or 2008 or any other year, I would be fine with people voting for who they wanted to vote for. I can't be that way with Trump. That's just where I stand with it.
Cammy, really quick, we have Toph also on the line. He's just joining us now. So, what's going on, Toph?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up, Toph?
How's it going, man?
Oh, I'm doing good. Yeah, I have my own opinions about Trump thing as well, but like Cammy, I kind of keep them to myself. You don't want to. This is the time of year when, honestly, man, like around political time, it's when social media becomes cancer. You know what I mean? Instagram,
yeah.
Twitter, Facebook. Around this time of year, like I really consider like just deactivating everything.
I knew all of you guys years ago during Obama run. What was this consensus back then? Do you guys remember it being as what's the word for it? As tenuous. Do you guys remember it this much hatred in the air, this much kind of like polar opposite sides?
No, it was never like this. No.
Yeah.
To me, and this is just me being real, I would never post this on Facebook because I know if I post, I wouldn't post this anywhere on social media because I know if I did, it would cause World War III. I'm just one person, and I live here, like, in the South, unfortunately. You know, so we're red states down here. A lot of folks are pro-Trump and stuff. To me, in my opinion, the issue is not Trump. The issue is his supporters. Because
yeah.
this is a game for Trump. This isn't it's like that jock in high school. You know, everyone knows the jock in high school that plays basketball, that plays football, and then there's that one jock that plays everything. Okay, cool. This is not like serious for Trump. This is a game for him. So when this is over, when the election is over and Hillary wins, Trump is just going to go back doing his thing. You know, whatever it is he does. But the people that voted for him, they're still going to be here living in whatever city, state, county they live in. And so the fact that so many people voted for him and they're still going to stay here in the country, that tells you the problem. The fact that so many folks vote for Trump, the fact that he has so many followers, that tells you that deep down there's a lot of people in the country that feel the exact same way he does. They just simply don't say it out loud. My grandma unfortunately passed away about 2 years ago, and before she died, she told me, you know how it is when someone's getting old and, you know, they pass away and stuff, but my grandma told me that sometimes she would rather go back to, like, the 50s and the 40s when, like, dogs were sicked on them, and I'm like, why would you say that? You know, I'm thinking she's just delusional, and my grandma told me that back in the 50s and 60s, at least people were honest about their racist ways. You know, they would just call you the N-word straight up, and she would say nowadays people are bigots, meaning that they'll low-key throw jabs that are clearly like have Klan-like undertones, but they won't just straight up call you, you know, an N-word. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know if I'm making sense or not, but, you know.
Yeah, no, you're making sense. I mean, let's talk about this for a second. There is one thing I will say about these Trump supporters. These cats are dying off. They are It's a. I really do believe it's a vocal minority of just people who are not progressive, who do not like the change that's going on in the world, they're kind of part of the resistance. I think the Republican Party is not going to be the same once Trump loses in November. You know what I'm saying? I think that party's got a lot of soul searching to do, and we got to see. We just got to see where this thing goes. You get me? But I don't think these Trump supporters are that heavy in numbers. I really do believe that it's a few idiots. Obviously, all of them are Republicans because, you know, these are the cats that let this guy get that far. So the Republican Party should be ashamed of themselves for allowing this to happen. But I think there's enough I have faith in this country that there's enough sane and rational people that won't let this guy get in that office. You know, hopefully, you know, these losers like Gary Johnson and Jill Stein don't ruin it for Hillary. And I don't think that they will. And, you know, I'm looking forward to over. Go ahead.
Yeah. To the thing, I've noticed around my area, even though I live in Illinois and it does swing to the Democrat side, that's mostly from, you know, Chicago and up there, just the population that's up there. But if you go more towards, you know, the south of Illinois, that's predominantly Republican for the state. So where I'm in, I do have a lot of Republican base around. But speaking on the third party, though, I've seen a lot of Republicans go to Gary Johnson, you know, for the third party. I mean, he's not going to win. We know that. But do you think that Gary Johnson, because where I'm at, a lot of Republicans that, you know, don't want anything to do with Trump, or, you know, they are, you know, Republicans, but they're going to go vote for Gary Johnson just because that's kind of where they lie. Do you think it would damage him that way instead of taking votes from Hillary? Because I know a lot of people that are misinformed think that, you know, the Bernie people are going to go towards Gary Johnson. But I do see him hurting. I could see it from both sides and taking away votes from both. So I'm not too worried about Gary Johnson because where I'm at, I have seen a lot of Gary Johnson signs in yards, which I rarely ever see from other elections, third-party signs in people's yards.
Yeah, Gary Johnson has ran for president before. This isn't his first time, you know, trying to run on the third-party ticket. Gary Johnson is a libertarian. To me, his views are not that much better than Trump's. I do not like Gary Johnson. Jill Stein, I respect her a little bit more, but I don't like her either because I think third-party candidates, there's a way that you can be successful at running for a third party. But this is just not it, you know. I can see that happening. It's gonna be an interesting November 8th. We're gonna see a lot of different things happening. Like I said, I'm hoping by the time Hillary gets out here, by the time the polls close out here, that Hillary's already won. And I really want this election to as far behind me as possible. I've seen the worst out of people with this Trump stuff. People have disgusted me to no end. I've been offended every single day since this election. I'm like you, Chad. I work in a very conservative area. I work in Ventura. Half my class is Republican. Half of one of my classes is Republican, and then the other half are liberal. Which is when you consider where I'm at, it's a lot because and when I'm in inner city LA, I'll have classes with nobody being a Republican. You know. So it's just different. I don't like the narrative that Trump is bringing about. I'm hoping that the Republicans learn a lesson after this year. I really do. They get back to the basics. I wouldn't care if that party split up in two splinter groups. I'd have no problem with that. That's the way I feel about that.
Cammie, you said something that kind of raised my eyebrow, and you said that the Republican Party after this, if Trump were to lose, they definitely should go back to basics. But don't you think the Republican Party after George W. Bush's two terms has been in shambles? Because they have been in shambles, in my opinion.
Let's make no mistake. It started with Bush and it's being finished with Trump. I really do believe that. That's a great point, Hugo.
Yeah, I agree too with what you said too, Hugo. My opinion on when the Republican Party started, separating is when they started giving the Tea Partiers, when they started giving them more of a base to talk on, because that's when everything started splitting right down the middle, where you had your conservatives that were with the party, but then you had your just major right-wingers that would come in, and they would actually let these idiots speak when a lot of them didn't have, a thought in their head other than just their racist mentalities or, just different things like that. But that's where I think the Republican Party started really coming unraveled.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree, too. Hey, Hugo, can you do me a favor? Can you find a promo clip or a song or something to go to, and then we'll round out the show. I'll be talking about next week and weeks preceding today. I definitely think the Republican Party is in trouble. Even if Trump, by some weird way, wins, I think the Republican Party is in trouble. I do not see them surviving this. I don't, because there's too many rational, level-headed Republicans that are not going to take that party back. And the issue, my problem, this is the thing with Republicans versus Democrats. People want to say, if you notice all these hate groups, let's talk neo-Nazis. Let's talk skinheads. Let's talk the Ku Klux Klan. All these hate groups, they all then identify as Republican. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So people make the argument, Democrats can be racist too. And I'm not saying that they can't be, but if you are a racist looking for a political party, if you're keeping it real with yourself, what party do those cats flock to? They go to the Republican Party. Now that you've had this narrative going on with you guys for X amount of years, you got to change that. You can't have this anymore. You can't have all the racist hate groups endorsing Donald Trump, saying, oh, Donald Trump this, and praising this guy, praising every Republican. This is not something that you want. You should have bucked this stuff back in the Bush era, but you let it get to this point, Go ahead.
A lot of that, too, for the unraveling of the Republican Party, and you speak about the racists in the party, you could say, Obama winning and becoming president was a big reason for them to go crazy, because a lot of people still can't get over that there's a black man that's in charge of the country. And then once he won, that's when everybody, President Obama, you can criticize him, for whatever you want, but he's had an uphill battle ever since day one trying to get anything with these Republicans. A lot of times in past, they'll work with the president and try to, maybe have their side. They'll try to work with him to get the Republican side in there. But these ones, they'll just veto anything that he has. He's just had an uphill battle. Him winning the presidency could be part of the reason of the unraveling of the party because they just don't want to work with them.
Yeah, and Hillary Clinton is going to face the exact same stuff that Obama's going to face. We're in for a wild ride, man, and that's really all I got to say about it. So, Hugo, do you got something to play for us for a few
gotcha.
Minutes?
Gotcha. Yep.
I thought we'd get some water and get, you know, all that kind of thing.
We'll be right back, y'all.
All right, cool. So we're going to break, you guys. Welcome back to Barbershop News Tonight. Again, this is our first show in 4 years. That's pretty much a wrap for us tonight. It's been really, really great doing this show. This is the show that started it all for us. I appreciate all the support. I appreciate Hugo. I appreciate Toph. And, of course, I appreciate Chad. We've been missing doing this show. We all have our normal lives. Work schedules get in the way of doing this, but we do want to be consistent. So with that said, next week we will return with Sucker Free Radio. It should be a very, very fun show. I always love doing that show. I appreciate your phone calls on that show. I appreciate your emails. You can ask us anything. We're a judgment-free zone, but we also keep it real. So if you don't want us to if you don't want us to keep it real with you, then you don't want to ask your question. Or if you do want to ask your question, put a fake name, whatever. Do what you got to do. We'll answer your questions. We're not love experts. We can't tell you exactly what to do, but we can definitely tell you the shit you guys need to stop doing. Now, that said, with that, and then we're gonna go. Probably back to our old format, doing the TG site show the next week and every other week doing that. And then we are going to do an election special. So this is going to be the Thursday of the week that Trump or Hillary becomes president-elect. We're going to do a show on Thursday, and we are going to talk about the direction of the country therefore and what we think the next 4 years holds for us. You're not going to want to miss it. I believe we will be having the Godfather, Nate Milton, on that episode. And I'm talking to Vandenberg right now. So we'll see if he can join. I'm trying to get some people, make this a big event show. Knox will probably be on it. We're just going to talk politics and see what we do from here, where our country goes, and what's in store for us all. Do you guys have any closing thoughts?
My closing thoughts is for Hillary, all she needs to do is just sit back and just let Trump punch himself out. The old rope-a-dope, that's all she needs to do. Just keep talking about her experience, and she's going to win it, because obviously the way her points are right now, and Trump's just buried himself. He's going to come out probably within the next couple weeks with some more outrageous stuff. He's going to try to do anything he can to get it in his favor. But all Hillary needs to do is just lay low, let him do his craziness, and she's going to win. If anything catastrophic happens, which I don't see anything that could be worse than what Trump's had come out on him
in the past couple weeks. Out on tape, like, robbing babies or something, I don't know. She would have to do some really ridiculous stuff to lose at this point. I think this is going to be the first election where somebody wins, not because people like them more, but because they just do not like the other guy. Because I've always said that to win an election, people have to like you. I don't think that many people like Hillary, but I think they hate Trump so much that it's going to push Hillary over the edge. Hillary's my girl. I will be posting some Hillary Facebook wallpaper either this week or next week. I'm going to get hated on, and I don't give a fuck. I'm voting for Hillary, and I got no issues with that. That's my girl this year. That's really, really all I got to say about that. Any closing words, Hugo Toef?
Toby, you have anything to say?
Yeah, closing words. You mentioned earlier, like, the people that vote for him. Most of the folks, it's pretty much like this, man. You get a cake, take 100% of the cake, cut, like, 70%, so you got, like, 70-30. The truth is, most of the folks that vote for him, it's like back in the day, you know, the 50s, the 60s. You remember colored onlys and sitting in the back of the bus and all that. You know, the history books never talk about this. I got in trouble as a kid for asking. I got one of my first attentions for asking a teacher about this. But, you know, those racist white folks from back then with the Klan-like mentality, you got to understand, like, a lot of those folks, they weren't very old. You know, have you seen those pictures of, like, the white folks sicking the dogs on us and the water holes?
They're probably going to from high blood pressure or
right, but there's a lot of folks from that era. They were like in their 20s, like the same age as me. So like right now they're alive today. So most of those folks that are alive, they're like in their 60s, probably early 70s at best. So that's where most of them come from, and the other half is like really just a bunch of spoiled kids that were born into that kind of life, you know.
We'll see what happens with it. And like again, we're going to do our show in a couple weeks. That's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll all just powwow and talk about that. Hugo, you got anything?
No, basically, make sure that even though some of us are not excited to run to the polls, and some of us are like KME and some of the tweeners like Chad, just make sure you still exercise your right as an American and go out and vote. Because that's the only way that we can get a point across. So make sure you go out and vote. Even though I'm not too keen about it, I'm still going to go out to the polls and vote. for who I think the better candidate is, and that's definitely Hillary Clinton. I don't care. I'll say it myself as well. I'm not voting for a businessman. Don't get me wrong. I would vote Trump to be the CEO of any – if I ever had a company that I could invest in, but not to run my actual country.
I would vote Trump to be the CEO of these nuts, man. In 2012, we told people to vote for who you think the better man is. This election, vote for Hillary. I'm not bullshit with you guys. I'm not beating around the bush. Get off your ass. Vote for Hillary. Do what you need to do. In 2020. Then we can vote for who the better person is, because there will be a difference between right now. It's no competition. Trump is a fucking moron. Do not vote for this man. Do not support this man. Let him go to the wayside. Let watch his brand as it falls into ruins after this sideshow he created and embarrassed our country all over the world. Trump is a cancer. He's a poison. He is no good. He is the lowest common denominator. He's a detriment to society. Do not vote for that asshole. Hillary 2016. And that's really all I got to say about that. People join
KB, let me just say this really quick before you finally close it out. Don't forget Solon Sports, Fox Sports 1340 AM, Hopewell with Mike Knox and the crew, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Also, the Hour of Power in Sports and Entertainment, Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. No Foul Play on Sundays at 7:30, and all the other good stuff on the network. And we're back also every Thursday night, right, KB? Time permitting.
Every Thursday night. Next week we're going to be doing Sucker Free Radio, and then we'll be doing a TG site sometime after that. I've been getting more requests for Sucker Free Radio than I've been getting for anything else. It just is what it is. I want to do a TG site, but look, I have to do the shows that people listen to, so we'll see how everything goes. But that's it. And again, Hillary 2016, I'm out this piece. Peace out, you guys.
Played.
Go Cubs. See you guys.